two readings this morning. Firstly, very briefly, from Galatians chapter 5. I don't know what page number it's on, but it is on the screen. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then we flick back a couple of books, or a book, to our second reading, which is from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. For each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. Thank you. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We're going to dig into our reading from 2 Corinthians in a moment, but before we do that, we're going to sing again the song, Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. So let's stand and let's sing together. Last week, as we looked at our covenant and thought about our goals and intentions for the year, we started to think a little bit about this passage in Galatians, these marks of a spirit-filled life that Paul talks about in Galatians 5, these marks of kind of spiritual maturity that we often refer to as the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, you'll realize, by the way, as we go through and from the first week, we're not actually going to do these in the order that they're listed in the Bible. There is a reason for that. It will become apparent as we go through. This morning, we're going to start by looking at goodness. Now, the thing about goodness, it's a bit of a nebulous term, isn't it? Good. It's up there with nice. And actually not entirely along the lines of the word love, actually. There's a whole bunch of ways you can interpret what it means to be good. So what does Paul mean here? What's he trying to say? Does it just mean that we have to behave ourselves? We just have to listen and follow the rules? Or does he have something else in mind? Just to be helpful, in Greek, there are three different words that can be translated as good. And sometimes there is a little bit of crossover. They do get used interchangeably a little bit. But the word that's used here is a word called agathos. And it's the same word, actually, that we get the name Agatha from. It's the same root. And the word agathos, the thing about this word is that it is, it's what we call an active word. It's not just about being good, it's about doing good. It's about demonstrating goodness rather than just kind of being righteous. And so in this context that Paul writes here, the word goodness is used in terms of bringing blessings to others. And what that means is that some versions of the Bible, therefore, choose to translate this word rather than goodness, they choose to translate it as generosity. This idea of doing active good for others. And that's the angle that we're going to take this morning, this concept of generosity as a sign of maturity in Christ. And that's what we see Paul talking to the Corinthian church about as we look at our reading this morning. Let me just take a moment to remind you of the context here. The people in Corinth were all right, really. They were doing pretty well for themselves. It's a city of considerable wealth. And we gather from what Paul has written and a bit from Acts as well. Many of the believers, they're enjoying fairly prosperous lives. The problem is that they had become just a little bit too self-sufficient, which had led to them becoming just a little bit too self-satisfied, which had led to them becoming just a little bit too self-indulgent. Maybe we can see mirrors in the contemporary world of this scenario. And so the two letters that Paul writes to the Corinthians that we have in our Bibles, the intention of them is basically they are they're corrective letters. The intention is to share with the believers in Corinth the right way to receive God's blessings. The importance of humility, the importance of being disciplined. And as we see today, the importance of using their prosperity in a way that will bless others and that will mean God can continue to bless them. And I think there are three principles in these verses that we can draw out as we think about how generosity is a sign of spiritual maturity. And the first one is this. Generosity is rooted in God's love. Paul begins with a fairly obvious farming anecdote. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then he goes on to say, each of you should give as much as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, ultimately, the amount that we sow is up to us. We shouldn't give because we have to. We should give because we want to. In the course of this passage that we've read this morning in 2 Corinthians, Paul quotes the Old Testament three times. And in verse 7 is the first of these quotes. It's from Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Funny thing, actually, is if you do turn to Proverbs 22 and look at verse 9, what Paul says here is not actually what it says. Somewhere in the translation from the Hebrew to Greek to English, the translation is slightly different. But I think the NIV says something like, the generous will themselves be blessed by God. The sentiment is the same, but actually the single sentence isn't quite as important as what surrounds it. Because Proverbs 22 as a whole is all about riches and poverty. Proverbs 22 essentially says, look, God makes everyone equal and loves everyone equally. And so to clamor after and to hoard money and riches and to ignore generosity is to ignore the fact that God loves those with less just as much as he loves those with more. Psalm 22 is a picture of a wise and God-fearing person who understands how to be generous with what they have. And Paul wants his readers to kind of see themselves in this picture of Psalm 22. The purpose of giving is to remind us of God's love. God's love not just for us, but God's love for everybody around us as well, including those who are less fortunate than us. Our giving, therefore, is an expression of our thanks to God. Generosity is part of how we worship. It's worth saying again, just as a brief aside, we continue to be grateful for everybody who has given so generously and continue to support the church during the pandemic, particularly financially. As I'm sure you know, it's difficult to balance a budget in these times, and we are so grateful for your generosity to us as a church, so that we can continue to try and do the kingdom stuff that we're about. I've also been asked to remind you that there is an offering box at the back. If you've come prepared to give today, we're very grateful for that. Please pop that offering in the box on your way out. But this idea that we're talking about this morning, it applies to all of our giving. It's not just about money. Money is not the only thing we can be generous with. We can be generous with our time. Connected to that, we can be generous with our gifts and skills, those things that God has given us that we can use not just to serve ourselves, but to serve others as well. We can be generous with our words. Bless you. It doesn't take a lot to share a kind word or a quick blessing. Paul says God loves it when we recognize his love for us and we choose to respond by loving other people the way that he loves them. Not just theoretically, but practically. Because, and I think this is really important, you can give without loving. But I don't think you can love without giving. The second thing that we see in this passage is that generosity releases God's blessings. Verse 8, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. It's really important to understand what Paul is saying here, because if you look at this verse in isolation, and if you look at verse 6 in isolation, you can draw a conclusion that is somewhere along the lines of a kind of prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel says that if you give to God, then God will reward you in return. He will always ensure that you have wealth and health and everything that you need to be happy. And actually, that's not really biblical. And it is the result of taking kind of one or two verses out of context. It's not what Paul is saying here. If we need to fully understand what he's saying, again, we need to look at the context of the Old Testament passages that he is quoting. And in verse 9, he quotes from Psalm 112, which says, "They have distributed freely, they've given to the poor, their righteousness endures forever." And then in verse 10, that comes from the first part of Isaiah 55. "Now he who supplies the seed for the sower," let's do the whole section. "For as the rain and snow came down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Another translation of verse 10 there. It says, "He who supplies the seed for the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." And in both verses, this word righteousness is actually really important. It's a word that these days tends to kind of carry slightly negative connotations, actually. When you hear righteousness, you tend to, maybe it's just me, but I tend to associate that with sort of a self-righteousness, which is a slightly unpleasant quality, actually, sometimes, isn't it? But in the Old Testament, it refers to, on one hand, it refers to God's faithfulness to his people. And on the other hand, it refers to the behavior by which God's people demonstrate their gratitude and faithfulness to him. And so in the case of Psalm 112, the whole poem is a celebration of those who trust in God, and in particular of their generosity and merciful nature to their neighbors, especially those who are less fortunate than they are. Isaiah 55 is an invitation to anyone who will listen to come and participate in the kingdom of God, in the plans and purposes of God, to feast on his goodness. Because ultimately he is fashioning a new creation by which all things will be renewed. In both cases, what Paul is trying to say, what Paul is digging into in 2 Corinthians, is he's trying to say, you shouldn't just be generous because I'm telling you to. Rather, he's inviting his readers into the biblical narrative to see how when we are generous to others, we are blessed in ourselves. Maybe not in an immediately obvious material way, but rather we are counted as righteous. We are seen to demonstrate our thankfulness and our faithfulness to God for all of God's faithfulness to us first. And secondly, we participate in the kingdom plan of God that begins with Christ's death and resurrection and culminates in the new creation. When we are generous to others, we release not just blessings on other people for the present, but we release spiritual blessings on us for the future. And this is kind of summed up in the last few verses of this chapter, where Paul says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, not just practical, but it is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. In other words, generosity results in God's kingdom advancing. When we are generous to others, we point people towards God. In our leaders' meeting this week, we started by looking at a few verses in Acts chapter 2. And these verses are quite ones that I come back to quite often because they remind me, and I think they remind all of us, of what is at the heart of being church together. I'm not going to read the whole section, I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And then at the conclusion of this section, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When the early disciples gave generously from the things that they had been blessed with, even down to selling their own property and possessions, people recognized that there was something about these people that was different from those around them. And because of that recognition, they came to know Jesus for themselves. When we give generously, whether that be money or time or just kindness, we open the door for conversations about Jesus. our giving, our generosity isn't just, it's not just a random act of kindness. It's not even just an act of worship. It becomes an act of mission. This short passage that we've looked at this morning is the culmination of actually two chapters of stuff that Paul has been talking about. He's encouraging the people at the church in Corinth, and by extension us as well, as we read back into these letters. It's encouraging us to be generous givers. Not to give our money or our time or our energy or our gifts or our skills or our words because we have to or because we feel that we should, but because by doing so, we are responding in love and compassion to all that God has first done for us. Our giving and our generosity is an act of worship. And in the process, we discover that we are part of this great narrative by which God is renewing all things and drawing people back to himself. Our generosity is not just an act of kindness. It's not just an act of worship. It becomes an act of mission as well. So we look at what constitutes a healthy, mature, spirit-filled life. Paul reminds us that everything proceeds from God's generosity. And everything returns to God in thanksgiving. Gratitude, which is marked actually by grace and generosity. These things, they're not just the optional extras of mature Christian living. They are, in fact, at the very heart of who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And as Paul writes, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for everything that you have first given to us. That through your generous abundance, you have given us life. You have given us air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink, shelter, families, friendships, relationships. And most importantly of all, we recognize that ultimate gift to us of mercy and of grace when you send Jesus. As we come around the Lord's table in a moment and remember your mercy and grace expressed to us that way. Well, we don't have words to offer back to you all the thanks that you deserve. Lord, help us to be generous givers in return, out of love and of kindness for those who are less fortunate than ourselves, out of worship in thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. And also, may those acts of generosity become missional acts by which people, through which people see you and see Jesus as they look at us. Lord, open doors and opportunities for us to share your love through those acts of generosity. Lord, help us to be generous and cheerful givers. In Jesus' name, amen.